News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
You're welcome back. Again, if you're just tuning in, the latest in the football, halftime at the Emirates, nil all, Arsenal and Sunderland. Man City, 35 minutes into their game at the Etihad, are 2-0 up on West Brom, and it's still Reading nil, Fulham nil at halftime in their Championship semi-final second leg playoff. We're delighted to say, meanwhile, we've John Caulfield on the line. Cork, as we mentioned at this stage, have made a rather remarkable start to the League of Ireland Premier Division season. 13 games in, they've had 12 wins and one draw. It is the second best start in the history of the league. You have to go back to 1924 and Bohemians, who won 15 on the bounce to find a better start to the season. John Caulfield, very welcome. Not to state the obvious too much, but you must be delighted with how it's gone so far.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal start, and you know, but I keep saying, you know, the league is a marathon, not a sprint, and we're only just over the first third. But you know, it was a phenomenal start by the lads, and I suppose the most important thing for myself and for the players is just to keep driving on, and you know, you take every game as it comes, and it's the old cliche, but really that's the way you have to do it. And our most important game now is Friday night against Drogheda, so we must try and kick on and try and pick up another 3 points.
Everything you told me there is textbook. What a manager should say, what we all have to think in principle, and I'm sure the players nod and agree with you, but actually convincing them deep in their souls that this is the case is probably your challenge now.
Yeah, but to be fair, to this point, they have done that, and you know, there's been a lot of talk and speculation going on for weeks upon weeks about different things and different records. At the end of the day, the bottom line for us is that, you know, we started the season with the aim of trying to win a league title. And, you know, we know what a tough challenge it is, and, you know, nothing has changed. So it's immaterial, you know, what happens in between. At the end of the day, you want to be, at the end of October, challenging for the league title. And that's our main goal. And obviously, you know, while there's so-called records, that's only a piece of paper. There's no tangible reward in that. Mm. You know, the reward is trying to win the league. And ultimately, that's our goal. But, you know, thankfully, the players have reacted week to week brilliantly. And, you know, allow me to continue. And you know, we have a very focused group down here, and you know, and a tremendous spirit amongst the lads and determination. So I'm very level-headed guys, and you know, so you know, from my own point of view, yeah, it is important. But thankfully, I have a great bunch of guys with me.
I was looking back through your comments across the course of the season, and back in April, maybe just 3-4 games in, you know, you were delighted with the 3 or 4 wins to start things off. But you did say there's a whole other level in this team, and I'm hoping we get to see that over the next number of weeks. 13 games in, have you reached the level you were hoping to?
Well, if I'm honest, Joe, I think we can still go, you know, we can still go further. I think the first third is always a good indication of where you are. But I think crucially, you know, you're coming up to the mid-season break, which effectively is only a week off, and then you run into the second part of the season, including Europe. And I think then, you know, July and August are really massive months, because with Europe, 3 games a week, the FAI Cup thrown in, you end up with a lot of midweek matches. So that's a big test for any squad and any team. And so, you know, as I said, the first third of the season indicates where you're at and showing us to be in a good place, with a strong squad. But certainly, you know, I feel there is more to come. You know, we're scoring quite a few goals. We've kept a few clean sheets. But I still feel that it's the next part of the season, which is now that, you know, we need to kick on and see at the start of September, you know, hopefully that we're in the running for, you know, certainly in the running for the league at that stage.
Yeah, you've scored 34 goals and conceded just 6 goals, which is really the remarkable record. I think the next best goals concession rate in the league is Dundalk with 14. So you're really making huge gains there defensively. I was looking as well at the squad. I think, I mean, you'll know for sure, you've about 11 first team members who are from Cork, who are of Cork. Is that important to you? Is that basically you know, an unwritten policy that you want that in your team? You want that for the club?
Well, you know, I think in any provincial club, you know, the more local players you have, it's better, certainly from a financial point of view, because they all live locally. And it certainly helps, but in the bigger picture, it doesn't matter. I think the main thing is that when players come into from the outside, as I say, into Cork, including myself many years ago, it, you know, you just get captivated by the coverage, the support, and I suppose, you know, it's just overwhelming. And there is no club that I can see. You know, if you look at historically, Shamrock Rovers are the biggest club in terms of winning trophies in their history. But in terms of the actual media coverage, the day-to-day meeting people around the place, the coverage, the interest in the club is massive. Because in Cork, there's massive interest following not only soccer, Gaelic, hurling, football, Munster rugby. That's just the way the place is. So from that point of view, it's only when a lot of the players from the outside come in, they realise that the pressure and the coverage is phenomenal. And it's fantastic, but at the same time, it leads to massive pressure and having to deliver because, you know, you have so many local stations, you have so many local daily papers, and football and all sports is just covered so much. Mm. And plus the fact the players themselves are well known. And so while it's a fantastic place to be, you have to stand up and be counted because there is massive pressure on you.
The crowds at Turner's Cross have been brilliant again. You know, you're averaging, I think, 4,500 and getting more on certain nights, which is big. And you talk about the media coverage and the local interest. So are you trying to protect the players from that? Or are you shoving them out there and saying, talk to the media, talk to people, embrace it, engage with it? What's been your approach?
Yeah, absolutely. Embrace it, soak it up. You know, it's a fantastic place to be. You're doing well. There's a lot of good coverage, but you have to be able to deal with it. And, you know, when you get knocked down and you don't perform, or, you know, you have to take the criticism. But at the same time, you know, if you're man enough to stand up to it and, you know, you're brave enough that you're good enough to win trophies and perform and deliver, it's a fantastic place to be. And everyone will love you. So, you know, as you can see, that is the one thing about, you know, the club here is that I have a fantastic bunch. I keep saying that I think it's our best team in 4 years, but there have been players who have drifted away and left the club because, you know, the pressure is big and you have to perform every week and you have to be able to take the criticism when you don't. So from that point of view, you know, I do feel that, you know, this is a very, very good team. Our support is very good, but to be honest with you, I would only expect that because, you know, in Cork, if in any sport, if you're doing well, the crowd will come out and so it is proven for us.
You're of legendary status, obviously, down there. 455 appearances for the club, which is a record over 15 years. And you've come in as manager and just managed to really spark something again down there. So 2014 finished second, 2015 finished second, last year finished second, and it's second to a really phenomenal side. What have you learned about management?
Well, look, it's only my fourth year in League of Ireland management, you know, and I suppose, look, people remember because I played as a player for a long, long time, but, you know, I had been away from the game and managed in non-league for the guts of 12 seasons. So, you know, I've a lot of managerial experience in non-league amateur football. And in lots of ways, there's lots of similarities, even though in Cork City, you're dealing with a professional game and dealing with professional players who are employees of the club. So it's different from that point of view. But, you know, the ethos, the base of, you know, what you want and how you do things is quite similar. So, you know, even though I'm relatively new as a League of Ireland manager, I suppose my connections with Cork City and what I know about the club and the history in local football and underage football, my knowledge would be very good. So I suppose, you know, when we moved in that time, you know, we wanted to make the club a force again, which we felt they weren't. Obviously, you know, it's you know, we have 3 years at number two, which has been fantastic on one hand because we've been in Europe every year. On the other hand, obviously, you want to win trophies, and the FAI Cup was a significant breakthrough, I felt, last year. And as I keep saying, yeah, Dundalk have been an excellent team. And no, we haven't been too bad either. So, you know, we work very hard. Fantastic management staff. Assistant manager John Cotter with me, Liam Carney, Phil Herring, great guys with me. And, you know, just a very good bunch of players. But, you know, it's all about keeping your feet on the ground and working as hard as you can and trying to deliver the potential that you have, you know.
Because I remember speaking to you, Aaron, at the start of your tenure. We did a show down in Cork. And I think, from memory, you'd spent some time in Holland observing training there. Which club was that again, John?
PSV Eindhoven.
PSV. What was the big takeaway from that? Because I think that night we were a bit tight for time and didn't have time to really touch on it. Did you, like, was it just watching training sessions and trying to
No, because I think, you know, the way it is at the moment, all the top managers in the Premier Division in Ireland are pro-licence holders.
Yeah.
So which means that they all have to go onto the continent and train. So
this is part of your pro-licence.
Training sessions or training drills. You know, I think, you know, everyone has that level. you know, it's the higher you go up, it's the higher, the better quality player you're dealing with. And that is the thing, I suppose, really, when you're going to these clubs, you're just looking for a different way of how they do things and maybe how they play different styles. And I suppose, you know, I've been at lots of different clubs and, you know, there's different things you pick up. I suppose at the end of the day, it's you know, I keep saying, you know, people ask me for my philosophy and, you know, and I'm saying your philosophy is to win matches because ultimately if you don't, you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the way of the world. So, but you have to deal with the players you have and you have to evolve. And you know, I think maybe with the experience I have at my age and managing an amateur football, it certainly stood to me because ultimately, you know, you have to evolve and you develop your team. And certainly we're a much more attractive team than the team I would have had in my first year.
Yeah.
But still the team I would have had in my first year were still a super bunch of guys playing at their maximum to the level they could, and we're very close to winning the title. So, but we are better now, and we are scoring more goals. And you know, as a manager, that's great. That's great to be in that position.
Yeah. Now for some of the questions you'll really like. How many people stop and ask you in the street about Sean Maguire at this stage of your average day?
Well, the beauty for me is I live in West Cork, which is about 30 miles out of Cork City, so I'm still inside the city centre. but look, he's a phenomenal guy, and you know, and I keep saying that, you know, when I met him last November, 2 years ago, he was on his knees.
Was he on his knees, John?
Well, I suppose he'd been released from West Ham, had come back to Ireland, had been 2 years back. He had a small stint in Akron and Stanley, had ended up with Dundalk at the end of that season and really couldn't get a game. He couldn't even make the bench in the cup final that season against us, and really was a guy who was just absolutely, his confidence was shattered, and he wasn't in a good place. But the one thing he had was that he has a fantastic attitude, determination, and an absolutely phenomenal person, lovely guy. And you know, I had no promises or I had no magic wand other than to say them that he would get opportunities if he worked hard enough, and so it proved. And everything he's done, he totally deserves.
Yeah, and he's caught the attention of everyone. Martin O'Neill was speaking about him yesterday and saying, you know, they're keeping track of him. Maybe there's a few ahead of him for the time being. It's been widely reported there's a release clause in his contract of €150,000. So it's difficult for you if a club comes in from England and looks for him and they hit the release clause. I'm not quite sure what argument you can make to a guy like Maguire at this stage of his career when a chance like that comes around, you know?
Well, you can't, Joe, because it doesn't matter whether he has a release clause or not. No League of Ireland club can stop a player from going based on the wages that can be offered across channel.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, players can go to the Championship in England, can go to the Premiership. They can even go to some League One clubs that can offer them 5, 6, 7, 8 times more than they can earn over here. And that is reality.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, the bottom line is no club in Ireland can stop a fella, whether he has a release clause or not, if the offer is good enough.
Mm.
And ultimately, you know, in any job or any job in the world or any profession in the world, if you're going from one job to another and you can get 8 times more or 9 times more than you're getting in your current job, well, let's be fair about it. It's a non-argument. So,
yeah.
You know, as I keep saying, thankfully for us, nothing can happen until July anyway.
Mm.
But at the same time, I always say that, you know, in the bigger picture, we have lots of players that when you're doing well and you're competing at the top, you are going to have interest from the outside. And that in itself, that's very positive. The most important thing for us is that if situations like that happen and players move on, we have to wish them well and just make sure that we can bring someone else in who'll be the next Shawnee Maguire or the next Alan Bennett or whatever the situation is.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm sure in an ideal world, he would very much love to stay and see out this season. But then if an English club want him over there and dictate those terms, you know, again, what can you do? So you just have to cross that bridge.
I'm sure that would be the case. But at the same time, you know, we'll have to deal with it if it changes. But I would assume, as I said to you, that, you know, if the club comes in and offers an exceptional package, which they do, you know, you move on and shake hands and take it as a positive that you know, your players are being wanted, and that's just the way it is, and you can't do anything about that, and that's just life. The whole of the world, bar possibly Real Madrid, possibly Barcelona, nearly every club in the world has to sell their players. That's just It's true.
It's the reality. Do you have ambitions long term? I'm not looking for a salacious headline here yet. Caulfield wants to leave or anything, but would you have some ambitions to manage in England or try your hand at that down the line, John?
Look, I suppose from my own point of view is that I was never a full time player. I went into full time management and gave up a very, very good day job 4 years ago, and it's the absolutely dream job, you know, for someone like myself to get up 24/7 dealing with football, managing people, massive pressure, an absolutely incredible environment, and you know, we often hear and why people get into management because it's a nuts job. It's a job that, you know, you're guaranteed to be sacked in. But at the same time, you know, managers are that way. They're just passionate about the sport. It's an in thing inside you that you just can't explain. It's just the nuts of it. It makes no logic in lots of ways, but it's just you can't, the release and the passion you get out of it, and the, you know, when you win, the highs and the lows, when you lose, it's just incredible. And you know, am I ambitious? Would I like to be a football manager for the rest of my life, however long that is? I would. But at the same time, you just have to wait and see what happens. And you know, 1 minute you're getting a lot of praise.
Yeah.
You lose a few games, people are saying that you're no good. That's just reality. That's the modern. That's the modern era.
I know. Like the next time we could be talking in a month's time, it could be Caulfield under pressure. The way it could go.
I've heard that before.
It was rare actually. It didn't happen so much anymore. A war of words between you and Stephen Kenny a couple of weeks ago, which was kind of much ado about nothing. He was bringing up the referees, and you were saying it was an attack on the referees, and he said it was a personal attack. And I'm sure you've both kind of put it to bed, but. The general health of the league, I'd be curious for your thoughts on the pitches, the referees, which was part of that discussion, the finances, the marketing. I mean, it's an age-old question. But where do you feel the league is in 2017, John, across the board?
Well, I think your league will always be gauged on how your teams do in Europe, because that's where you'll get respect from. And in other countries, it's Europe where they value you, how good you are, how bad you are. And, you know, generally, we've struggled in Europe, bar Shamrock Rovers under Michael O'Neill in the early 2010s. And then last year was a phenomenal year because, obviously, you know, we went to the third round of the Europa League.
Yeah.
Pats went to the second round. Obviously, Dundalk had that incredible run. But it's important to see, can we build on that? In the bigger picture, you know, I always feel that, you know, the standards in our league need to raise. We need more promotion, more marketing. You know, there's tremendous media coverage, but I think from the top, you know, we just need to grab it by the scruff of the neck and just really promote our league. And that means showing matches every week on TV, giving proper coverage, because I just feel that bringing it to another level will change the perception. Obviously, standard-wise, a lot of our grounds are excellent, but there's a lot of grounds that aren't excellent. And I think that our standards should be from the top down, not from the bottom up. And I firmly believe that we should have an FBI League of Ireland committee, basically employed by the FBI, 4 or 5 people who just run our league full time and are given financial support to put in marketing ideas and just run our league from people who are really passionate about our league, just to bring it to another level, because I think people can see there's tremendous quality there, but the perception isn't that.
Okay. John, many thanks for all that.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
Cheers, John Caulfield there, Cork City manager. Latest in the football is that it's Arsenal 0, Sunderland 0, 53 minutes on the clock, and it's gone half time at the Etihad. Manchester City 2-0 up in West Brom. And in the Championship playoff, Reading have nudged in front of Fulham 1-0 on the night, 2-1 on aggregate, 53 minutes on the clock. That's a Championship playoff. Ooh, almost a chance. John Caulfield, good there. I mean, what a job he's done at Cork. Lower half of the table, he's come in second, and now almost a record start of the league.
Yeah, like, it is sort of amazing how this new order between sort of Cork and Dundalk formed, really. That, I mean, Tommy Dunn did a very good job at Cork in terms of bringing them up. Maybe there was a sense he'd brought them as far as he could, and then and Caulfield brought them in, because obviously the club went down to the first division and Caulfield wasn't involved at that stage, but maybe just brought them to the next level. And Dundalk and Cork, really, like, Kenny and Caulfield, they didn't go into jobs where the club at that point was a top two team.
Yeah.
And you know, certainly it's always been the case that Cork feel they haven't got credit the last few years because they've been in the sort of shadow of a great side. But I think where he gets credit is how his own team has evolved. Just take Cork as a standalone and just take the Dock out of the equation. But Cork, because although they finished second 3 years in a row, in 2015, I think they were actually quite a poor side. Maybe poor is a strong word, but they certainly had a poor year.
Pragmatic.
And they were nowhere near Dundalk, you know, that year. They were second, but they were a long second.
Yeah.
They were poor in Europe that year. Last year, and I think you mentioned it there, that, you know, Europe is a barometer. The fact that the team that came second was able to get through a couple of rounds in Europe suggests that they were on the right track.
Yeah.
And I think that's something they managed to do and evolve and be a bit more mature and a bit more expansive at times, but they're still ultimately very pragmatic in some ways. I mean, they've conceded about 6 goals this season. I think the next best defence has conceded 14, and they've also scored more than everybody else, so I mean that has to be pointed out, but it's just the all round package. I mean, they did drop points last week, I guess. It's the first time they've done it. That's the only sort of glimmer of hope they've given to the chasing pack is dropping points in Galway.
I was thinking about going with the crisis at Cork line to
exactly. You know, no goal for Sean Maguire. He's in a dry patch.
Well, we'll talk about Sean Maguire in the football show. I do want to ask you if you think he should be in the Ireland squad now, if he's ready or if it's premature, but we have to go for a quick break.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.